tracking for the rebels in Syria, it's very complicated and fragmented. But I think what the taking of Yarmouk highlights is that a regime that has constantly condemned foreign intervention in the conflict is itself propped up by foreign intervention. These battlefield successes, including Yarmouk and before, would not happen without the help of Hezbollah and Iran and Russia and other parties. Its existence owes itself to foreign intervention, and yet it constantly condemns foreign intervention. This is the hypocrisy and double standard that is highlighted by the taking of Yarmouk and other battlefield victories.
Your take, Mr. Mousavi, on the comments from our guests in London.
This is very ironic, I mean, when you talk. I mean, you're talking about an area that is adjacent, bordering Lebanon. You're talking about an area that has been used as a reservoir in order to send booby-trapped cars to Lebanon. You're talking about an area that hundreds of Lebanese were killed or wounded because of this place where the terrorists equip and send the booby-trapped cars and the suicidal bombers to Lebanon and to the capital to target the civilians. Well, we cannot make any kind of comparison between between Syria and certain Lebanese fighting there, adjacent in a bordering, because they were threatened, because they were killed, and with more than 80 nationalities coming from across the four corners of the world to fight in Syria. You talk about Chechens, you talk about Turks, you talk about Saudis, you talk about Qataris, you talk about Tunisians, you talk about Libyans. They all came to fight. And here, I don't believe it would be very transparent. It wouldn't be very precise to talk about double standards and inconsistencies. First, everybody recognizes the Syrian government and Bashar al-Assad as the true representative. I'm telling the international community, I'm not talking about Turkey or Saudi Arabia, but here, I mean, according even to estimates, according to polls by the United States, by the intelligence, by everybody, if Bashar al-Assad goes tomorrow to be nominated for a president, he is going to be elected. This is not our estimates. This is the estimates of everybody. So no way you can compare between a government that is asking for anyone to help, it is a legitimate government, and between groups coming from across the world in order to fight. They are takfiris, they have their own agendas, they are setting their own standards of how to behave and how to eat and how to drink and what to do or what not to do. I believe this is unfair. And this is unjust to make such a comparison at this point.
Mr. Nashashibi, if we look at the situation, the current situation in Syria, there are some experts who say that a lot of the West, if we're looking at, for example, especially the United States and its other Western supporters and perhaps some of the Arab allies, they want the situation to be as it is, meaning that still there is no outright victory for either side, but continual chaos and destruction of the country of Syria. Your take, sir.
Well, I don't think it serves anyone's interest to keep the conflict going, certainly not the Syrians and certainly not everyone else in the Middle East and the region. It affects the entire region. But unfortunately, the backers of the regime and certain backers of the Syrian opposition are counting on ultimately a defeat of the other side. And this is why the conflict is carrying on. It doesn't serve anyone for the conflict to carry on. And let me just address Mr. Mousavi on his previous point. He is acting as if the instability in Lebanon preceded Hezbollah's involvement in Syria. The situation in Lebanon is so much worse now because Hezbollah entered Syria. Hezbollah was founded as a resistance movement against Israel. It's not resisting Israel. It's killing fellow Arabs. I mean, what has happened to the goal of Hezbollah, to the origin, to the point of its existence? It's not resisting Israel. The Syrian regime is not resisting Israel. It's killing fellow Arabs. It is supporting a war criminal, someone whose regime is responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity. And this is documented by the UN, which Mr. Mousavi seems to be in favor of, and also by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch and other groups, respected human rights organizations. You are backing a war criminal. I'm sorry, Mr. Mousavi. This should not be Hezbollah's role.
Mr. Mousavi, your take on what our guest said in London?
Well, it seems he's being gravely and majorly misled. I don't know how. I don't want to say that he's being brainwashed, but I'm afraid that when he says that the situation in Lebanon has worsened because of Hezbollah interference, he's not someone who lives here or who is highly learned or educated about what happened. He has to live in Qusair and the area there where Hezbollah.
Mr. Musa,
you're not educated about the situation in Lebanon. I'm not talking about you in person. I have all respect to you, but I'm telling you about very delicate and detailed things.
You are a representative of a movement that is involved in the conflict.
They have attacked the area more than 3-4 times, and they have massacred many people in the area, and they have kidnapped so many people, and we had so many gentlemen agreement with them, but they have never respected this. We called upon them. If you don't know, there had been a lot of mediations where we told them you should like stop at one area, you shouldn't attack the Lebanese territories. They continued to do that, and they threatened. Actually, it was in 2011. I can tell you, go to Al Jazeera, for example. One of the deputies in the opposition said that Hezbollah is fighting and killing in Daraa. This was 2011. Hezbollah interfered in 2013 in Qusair area in the Lebanese border. So they were preparing the whole ground in order to get rid of Hezbollah. This is something that we heard. It's also documented that they were going to come after Hezbollah after they finished, because they believed it would only take months before they can get rid of the regime. This is what they believed, and it didn't work. The other thing that I want to draw his attention to, when he says that the continuation of the crisis has to do because of the backers, I totally agree with you, but not our side, not the Iranians, because we have always and we continue
to seek
a diplomatic, a political resolution for the crisis and not a military one. And to tell you, you should know, if Hezbollah wants to interfere militarily, we have the capacity to interfere in the long-range place, but this is not something that we are trying to do or we want to do.
Okay, Mr. Nashashibi, let's look at the situation. The Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki has said that actually he blamed Saudi Arabia and the United States for the continued war in Syria, and that if it continues, the situation with the terrorism being out of control, that it will actually backfire upon Saudi Arabia and Jordan. How do you see Mr. Maliki's comments?
Well, of course he'd say that. He's supporting the Syrian regime. Of course he would say that. And of course Mr. Mousavi would say what he's saying, because he's a spokesman for Hezbollah, which is also supporting the regime. Of course these people are going to justify their presence in Syria and justify their support for the regime. This is unacceptable to me, though.
We are supporting the Syrian people. You go and make a poll, a referendum among the Syrian people, and see what they say.
And war criminals within the opposition, but equally I don't accept war criminals among the regime.
And they don't support the Saudis or anyone else. You have to go and see what kind of
support
Bashar Assad has in the street
a movement that is involved in the conflict.
I mean, this is not something that you can talk about.
You had your turn to speak. I'm speaking now, so please stop interrupting me. Stop interrupting me. Of course what you say is going
you
to be tainted because you're a spokesman
of a movement
that's involved in the conflict.
You're throwing fallacies, you're throwing mistakes.
Okay, let me let Mr. Nashashibi,
no, sir, you are. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you are.
Mr. Nashashibi, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying the statements of Mr. Mousavi and Mr. Maliki are obviously tainted by the fact that they are supporting the involvement of their respective regimes and movements within Syria.
Okay, what will it take, because we're almost out of time, in your perspective, Mr. Nashashibi, what will it take to bring this situation to an end, this crisis to an end in Syria?
At this stage, I really find it very difficult to be hopeful for a resolution to the conflict in the foreseeable future. There is no military victory. Overall, there is still a military stalemate. There is complete deadlock diplomatically. And there are outside powers on both sides that are committed to prolonging this conflict and hoping that one side is going to defeat the other. At the moment, the only people who are suffering are the people of Syria, the civilians of Syria, and people in the wider region. And the tragedy of this is that for this foreseeable future, I don't see this ending, and in fact, I see it worsening. And really, this breaks my heart for the people of Syria.
Okay, Mr. Mousavi, your take, same question.
Well, I believe simply that things are going to be better in the future. According to our understanding, no one wants like a military crash out. What we're talking about There should be a political solution, a political resolution for the problem. People should come and sit together, that through the genuine representative of the Syrian people, the interference of Hezbollah and Iran, they have always believed in a political solution. And they are supporting the Syrian people, by the way, but not the Takfiri groups, the groups coming from different parts, the Daesh, the Nusra, I don't know who. You can talk about hundreds of different militant groups coming to Syria being supported by the Gulf countries. And I believe your other guest supports these Takfiri groups, and he believes in their ideals, I mean, in massacring
the people, and sending the booby-trapped cars in order to
kill
children. Absolutely wrong
so
in saying
he's
that.
Never mentioned anything
this
about this
wrong.
Point. You are interrupting me at this
okay,
point.
Okay, well, I'm going to have
you are
absolutely
wrong.
I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to interrupt
both of you. I am not
supportive
of this
because we are out of time. Excuse me, both of you. We are straight out of time. Sorry about that. Good discussion. One out of Beirut. I'd like to thank my guest, political commentator Mr. Ibrahim Mousavi, and out of London, journalist and Middle East analyst Mr. Sharif Hikmat Nashashibi. Thank you both for being with us, and thank you, viewers. As always, we appreciate you joining us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashimi, signing out right here from our international studios in Tehran.